Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing. Relevant. Real.
So we've been talking about small things, big difference. And last week we talked about what? Anybody remember? Prayer. All right, we talked about prayer, five ways that we can pray. Now, according to Scripture, prayer is not a small thing, it's a big thing. But often what I find is that in the busyness of life, we often say, oh, I need to get this done and get this done. I can skip prayer today. And then we go into day two, I can skip prayer today. Day three, I can skip prayer today. And before long, prayer becomes something that we do when life gets bad or when something happens. Then we go to God and we say, God, help me! Okay? But He's wanting to commune with us on a regular basis, right? Because that's where we get our strength, our guidance, our encouragement, is through communicating with God. It may seem like a small thing. Sometimes it's a little bit bigger than what it is to make that happen in our daily life. But it is something that probably takes not a great amount of time, but if we do it, there's huge benefits that come from it, right? And so the second one we're going to talk about is, it's kind of like we're going back to boot camp a little bit, all right? Anybody gone through a boot camp, physical training? You've actually gone through boot camp. Dave?
Wrestling.
But you, and well, in sports, you do that, right? The first couple weeks of 2 days for football, for basketball, for track. You go what? You really cover the basics, right? You have to get the basics down because if you don't get those down, it catches up with you later. And in the Christian life, some of the basics are, one is prayer, number two is the study of God's Word. So last week we looked at five ways you can pray. Okay, and I know you got those all memorized. So the first one was confession. I can't do that very well. What was the second one?
Petition.
Third one? All right, next one? Intercession. And praise. All right, okay. All right, Dwayne had his notes from last week. Good job. All right, this week we're going to look at five ways that we can get God's Word into our heart and our life. You can also put that on a hand as well. And these aren't original to me. These come through Navigators, who kind of has his beginnings in college ministry, discipleship. They just have some great materials out there. And so five ways that we can get God's Word into our heart and our lives. The psalmist in Psalms 119, if you've ever read through Psalms 119, it's the longest chapter in Scripture. In Old and New Testament, Psalms 119, all 150 verses of it, okay? And each verse talks about the Word of God. Now, it'll say precepts or your law, your word, but every verse, you go read it through it yourself, you'll find out every verse refers to the word God in some way, all right? And the psalmist says in Psalms 119, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, all right? And it's just saying that God's word goes before us. It helps us to see spiritually where we need to go, whether it's in the matter of salvation, in discipleship, in our walk with God. So the Word of God is not only a set of guidelines or recommendations for it, but it's the foundation of who we are, how we live, we move, how we grow, what we believe. It's found in the Word of God. So I want us to also look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's words to Timothy, who was like a son, a spiritual son to him, but he was also would be a pastor under Paul and would help pastor many of the churches that Paul would start and plant. And in verse 14 through 17 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, Paul says, but as for you, Timothy, continue on in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know that those whom you have learned it from. Who did he learn it from? Anybody know? Very good. His mom and his grandma, Eunice and Lois, all right? He learned it from those, yes. And he says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. So from a young lad, he learned it from his mom and his grandma. And you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 16, one that should be you should know by heart, put to memory if you don't. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is our foundation. And so it's important that we know what the Word of God says and get the Word of God into our heart and our life. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. Hebrews says it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate into our hearts and our lives to show us what is right, to show us what is wrong, and to lead and direct us. Father, we just ask for the help of your Spirit here this morning to understand and to apply what you say to us in your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look at some ways that we can get the Word of God into our life. The first of all is hearing. Hearing the Word of God. That may seem a little basic, but that's where we have to begin, is hearing the Word of God. Now, Romans 10:17, if you want to turn there, hearing the Word of God. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message or the Word of God. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And until you hear the Word of God, you'll never be able to believe. You'll never know what God has to say or who He is, His plan of salvation, of what He has to say about holy living and godliness. But we have to hear the Word of God. We hear the Word of God maybe through coming to church, through a pastor, through a teacher. Maybe we turn on the radio and hear the Word of God. Nowadays, if you're going down the road, you can turn on the radio, or you can even, I think on the electronic versions, you can set it to the mode where it'll actually read to you, can't you? Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So you can just be cruising down the road listening to the Word of God. And, you know, sometimes driving down the road is, you want to pass the time, you can hear the Word of God. And it's powerful. And you may think, you know what, hearing the Word of God, you know, I don't need to hear the Word of God. Well, let's go to Nehemiah, okay? And you might need some help finding Nehemiah. He's only knee high. All right. I had to throw that in there. But you probably won't forget Nehemiah because it's knee high Amiah, all right? All right, so Nehemiah is right before Esther. Okay, I know that helps you out. But if you get past your Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Kings, Chronicles, and after Chronicles you have Ezra, and then you have Nehemiah, all right? And you get to chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was a priest, teacher during, Nehemiah was actually a cupbearer. Ezra, it was the priest. And so Ezra is the one we're actually going to look at, but Nehemiah writes about it. But this is the time that Israel goes off to Babylon. This is after many years of disobedience. Israel goes off to Babylon to captivity. Many of them were killed. Some were taken into captivity. They come back after 70 years. It's prophesied in Jeremiah that they'll come back. They come back, but there's a lot of rebuilding that has to take place. Zerubbabel builds up the temple. Okay? Zerubbabel. Got that one? Let's all say it together. There's Zerubbabel. All right. He builds up the temple. Nehemiah builds up the walls. Yeah. Nehemiah built up the walls. And then Ezra builds up the people through the Word of God. And what has happened during this time of being in captivity and just all the chaos that had taken place is the temple wasn't open. Okay? And the people during that time did not have one of these. Okay? They didn't have a copy of God's Word. If you wanted to hear the Word of God, you went to the temple or synagogue where they had have scrolls where you would hear the Word of God. And so many of them maybe had a belief in God, but they had no idea what the Word of God said. So Nehemiah meets with the people. He actually served under the king of Persia. And he's allowed to come back. God grants him favor. He comes back, helps him rebuild the walls. But Ezra then is the one that will read the Word of God to them. And this is like the first time that they had had the Word of God read to them in maybe 70 years. Okay? All right? A long time. All right? And, you know, some of you, a lot of us aren't 70, are we? Okay? So that's a long time. But let's begin in verse 4 of chapter 8. All right? I don't want to begin. Yeah, I do. Okay. Verse 4 says, Ezra the scribe stood at the high on a high wooden platform, so he was kind of up on a platform, built for the occasion. They built it especially for him so the people could see him. Okay, they'd gathered around. And beside him on his right stood all these people. Okay? All right. Verse 5. Uriah was there. All right. Paul, aren't you glad I didn't have you read that? All right. Verse 5, Ezra then opened up the book, probably Deuteronomy, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened up the book, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands and responded, Amen, Amen, exclamation. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then you have the Levites. Verse 8, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear. So not only was he reading, but he was also taking time to help them understand some words and what it meant. Okay? Kind of like we do on a Sunday morning. Giving it meaning to the people couldn't understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is sacred to our God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been, what? Weeping. As they listened to the words of the law. As the word of God was being read, it's just like it cut them to the heart. And they weren't weeping. I think it was just that they were so hungry and thirsty for the word of God. And God just began to speak through the hearing of the word of God. And Nehemiah says, go and enjoy. He says, this is a sacred day. Go and enjoy choice food and drinks. You know, food's an important thing. And send those who have nothing, make something prepared for them. So everybody had something to eat. He said, this is a day sacred to the Lord. Do not grieve for what? You say this verse a lot. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you know that falls into this context? The joy of the Lord is your strength. It comes from this passage. All that happened as they heard the word of God. And there was joy, there was a joy, there was a happiness, and I think there was even some repentance that took place as they understand what the Word of God had to say and how they've been living their life. But God brought a freshness, a renewal that day as they heard the Word of God. There's power in just hearing the Word of God. So one way that we get the Word of God into our life is just simply hearing the Word of God. Secondly, is reading the Word of God. All right? Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So that's specifically referring to the book of Revelation, but it can refer to all of God's word, but that we need to take note of what is read and what is written in God's word to read it. And reading the Bible is one of the most effective ways that we can get the word of God into our life. And to get into, that's why we encourage you to get into some kind of system where you're reading through the Word of God, all right? And so you can go with an electronic version, and sometimes the Life Bible will give you, there's several programs on there, and they'll send you a verse or a chapter to read every day, and they just set it up for you. You select the one you want. Hey, if that works for you, great. You're reading the Word of God. If this works for you and you want to do that, great. If you want to, there's times I've read a chapter in the Old Testament, I've read a proverb, I've read a psalm, so all three of those are Old Testament. And then I've read a gospel, and then I've read one of Paul's writings in the New Testament. So I think that was like 5 chapters a day. You can do that. Whatever, how much time you have, and whatever God is speaking to your heart, the key is to get into the Word of God and to have a system that works for you. And, you know, systems can seem a little bit dry, but successful organizations and anything that accomplishes anything has a system. OK, Okay? You have to put systems in place to maintain what is right. Okay? If you work at a, if, you know, we got several teachers here in the school system. They have a system in place. They have all these things that make education happen. All right? So you have to have a system that works for you in your own life. Whatever that is, whether it's morning. How many people like to read in the morning and have devotions in the morning? Okay. Anybody in the evening? Okay. Evening people. Anybody middle of the day? All right. Okay. Sometime? All right. Okay. Mid-morning. All right. After you've had your first cup of coffee. All right. Find a time that works for you. I probably would... There's times I like the morning the best, but there's times that I even like to close out the day in prayer and reading God's Word. So find a plan that works for you. Find a Bible that you enjoy reading and a translation. I talk a lot about that because you have to find a Bible that works for you, that you enjoy reading, and a translation that you can understand. All right, you may like the King James and how it reads and how it flows, but you don't understand a lot of the words in it. Find something, maybe the New King James or ESV, English Standard Version, or New Living Translation. There's a lot of good translations. All right? I usually go out of the NIV, but I really like the English Standard Translation. I like the New Living Translation. Those are good things. So, all right. So, reading, number three. We're going to go, so we got hearing the Word of God. We have reading the Word of God. Number three, studying the Word of God. Now, there's a difference between reading the Word of God and studying it, isn't there? Now, how many of you can read a whole chapter, and if somebody was to quiz you over it, you would kind of like, whoop, it went right over your head. You ever done that? Yeah. You know, comprehension. Some people are better at comprehending than others. But often we can read through something, and we totally missed what was being said, maybe because we're thinking about something else. I don't know. But to comprehend and to study what is being said. So on Wednesday night and even the ministry class, they've both been looking at how to study the Word of God, how to study it accurately, to dig into it. And so we're looking at Colossians right now on Wednesday night, and so we're digging into it. Who wrote it? Why did he write it? All the things there. But as we're doing that, we're understanding what the book of Colossians is all about. So where was Colossians written from? Okay, my class on Wednesday night. Don't be shy. Where? Captivity. Rome in prison, right? Okay. All right. And they're getting into why he wrote some of the things, but we talked about Wednesday night that he deals a lot with the deity of Christ, the deity of Christ, that he was the Son of God. And so there was some false teaching there that dealing with that Jesus was probably human and a good man, but he wasn't the Son of God. And so he really deals with that Jesus was the Son of God. He was God. In every sense and way, he was God in person to us. So he deals with that. And you can see that come through, and it helps us to understand the context and what was being said there, to study the Word of God. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a person who works, a workman or a work person who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. In other words, that we understand what the word of God has to say, and that it's so easy to take the word of God out of context. It really is. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many knew that verse? You'd heard it before. How many knew where it was found? Anybody? Tammy. All right. And so we see a verse, and not that you're taking it out of context, but you could be, because you're pulling some words out of a text, and context is what gives the words meaning. And you have to understand what is said. And when we study it, we really begin to fully grasp what is being said so that we can apply it to our life. Now, we went through James last year, which wasn't that long ago, okay? And James chapter 1, 22 through 25 says, do not merely listen or hear the word of God and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like someone who sees their face in the mirror but doesn't comprehend what they look like. Okay, they can't recognize themselves. Verse 24, after looking at himself and goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. Verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but by doing it will be blessed in what they do. And so Paul deals with to Timothy to be a workman that does not need to be ashamed, but grapple with the Word of God, study it. But as we do it, also James says, you know what? We can't just hear it, but we have to implement it into our lives. And as we study the Word of God, we understand what it says, and it usually leads to us applying it to our lives and allow it to speak to our lives and to change our lives. One of the ways that we can do that is to have a journal. All right, do we have anybody that has a journal? You keep notes? Yeah. All right. So this is my, these are some of the journals I've had in the past. I just keep them on file. Okay, and nothing to look at, are they? Okay, they're just notepads. But it's kind of cool to go back and look at those and just think, oh man, I was going through that in my life at that point in time. It's pretty cool. And it's kind of neat. And just to think, and so in there I'll include prayer requests, needs that I'm praying about and thinking about, but also some of the passages that I've read, then I'll put some notes in there and things that talked about. Now I've kind of shifted to where I keep a journal on Google Drive. That way I can pull it up on my phone or my computer. It's there. Last year, so I printed this off. I was going through Romans 9 and where Paul talks about the sovereignty of God. And that's always a thing that kind of just is interesting to me. And so I make some comments. And I have prayer requests here for the family, for the church, and for people in our congregation, things that they were going through. And just to see God, it's kind of cool to think, man, God did answer that prayer, didn't he? And if we don't log those things, often we bring requests to God and we go on with life and we think, we don't remember that. You know what, God, you did meet me there. And that did work out. It didn't happen maybe overnight, but it happened over a process. And God provided, and I was all stressed out and anxious. And God provided for me. But also, it's kind of like even the insights where you begin to journal. I think journal helps you to think through what you've read, right, to process it. And you begin to write down the things that God is speaking to you. And it's kind of like, wow, man, God, you spoke that to me back then. That's pretty good stuff, you know? And you'd be amazed what the Holy Spirit will speak through you as you apply it to your life and write down those thoughts. Studying the Word of God. Number four, we're moving along here. So we got hear, study. Number, hear, read, study. All right. Number four is memorize. That's a fourth way that we get the Word of God into our life. And so we have to hear it and we have to read it to memorize it, right? And probably study it. Memorizing is, you know, when I was a kid, memorizing was really stress. We learned it on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, just the memorization. And I got to Bible college and there's certain verses I had to memorize, Ephesians 2:8-9. For you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But even in devotional time, Psalms 19, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my God and Redeemer. Proverbs 2:3-23. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. You just have those verses that you commit to memory. And wherever you go, you can have your Word of God on your phone, or you can have it in a pocket, or you can have it in the car. But there's something about having those verses right in your heart. And as you're going through the day, God can bring those back to you and encourage you. You can use them for witnessing. But to have the Word of God there. I remember shortly after Bible college, working, and it must have been kind of a hard time in my own life, but Psalms 91, just really, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will dwell. It's a good one, isn't it? Yes. shall dwell in the presence of the Almighty. I say to the Lord, he is my rock, my Redeemer, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And you can take those promises with you wherever you go. And God can use, the Holy Spirit can grab that. And not only does it bless your heart, but it can be a blessing to somebody else. To memorize the Word of God. Psalms 119, we've been talking a little bit about that, 9 through 11. The psalmist says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me be led astray from your commands. For I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. All right, so memorizing God's word will help us to live a life of purity, for one thing. Number two, it can also help us in the area of temptation. I want you to look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted. And Scripture says that he was tempted in every way like us, except he didn't sin, right? Now, when Jesus is in the wilderness, he's fasting and praying for 40 days, and it's at the end of that time that Satan comes to tempt him. And I want us to read through that, starting in verse 1. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 4. Verse 2, he was there 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, at the end of them he was hungry. Okay? The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. So, and that is found in Deuteronomy. If you look in your cross-reference there, it is found in Deuteronomy 8:3. All right? Deuteronomy 8:3. So he quotes the Word of God. Now, do you think he had a scroll tucked in his hip pocket of Deuteronomy? I don't think so. It was here. And Satan comes at him, and in fact, Satan used what to tempt him? He used the Scripture too, didn't he? You may find out Satan knows the Word of God better than you do, and if he does, you're in trouble, because he'll use the Word of God against you. He takes it out of context. He twists it. He does that in every example here. He twists it. He just takes the Word of God and he kind of just twists a little bit, and if we don't know what the Word of God says, we don't know how to confront Satan. The devil then led him to a high place and showed him the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. No, it hasn't. But you can say that. And I'll give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it'll be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so that's found, I believe, in Deuteronomy 6:13. The devil led him up to Jerusalem, had him stand in the highest point in the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, here again, he's quoting the Word of God. Verse 12, Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, Deuteronomy 6:16. Then the devil, when he was finished tempting him, he left for a more opportune time. See, the Word of God can be a tool that we need to have in our belt to fight against temptation, to know what the Word of God says. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can stand up under. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I believe. So if we commit it to memory, God will help us through that. But committing the Word of God to our life can also help us in sharing our faith with other people. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. So you can't be a Bible thumper, okay? You're going to hell! Okay, you can't. I guess if that's what they need to hear, but be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. See, how are you going to be prepared to give a hope, an answer? You have to know the Word of God. You have to know what you believe. Memorizing the Word of God can help you do that. Do you have to memorize the whole Bible? Probably not. But there are key verses that are worth putting to memory. All right? Memorize. Number five, meditate on the Word of God. I want us to look at Psalms chapter 1. I think we spoke on this the end of the year, going right into the new year. We looked at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3. Let's read verse 1 since it's there. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, it prospers. Meditate means to mull over in our mind. If you've raised cattle, cattle do what? They chew their cud, right? And it's probably not a very appetizing thought to chew your cud, because they actually kind of, you know, chew it up. But they're digesting it, right? It helps them digest it. They're really chewing on it so that it's digested. And they can eat all that they want, but if it's not digested, what does it do? Goes in one, goes out the other way, right? Without nourishing the body. And sometimes the Word of God does that in our life, right? We read it, we hear it, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and it hasn't accomplished its purpose within our life. And so meditating it means that I'm thinking about it, I'm studying it, I'm saying, "What God, what are you saying on this?" And you're thinking about it so that it can be applied to your own life. And it can benefit your life. So if you read a chapter in the morning, there's a couple verses that stand out. Kind of highlight them and think, man, I'm going to think about these. So you're at work, and you know what? I know most of you think about other things when you're at work, okay? All right? And so you can probably do more than one thing at once. And you can be thinking about, you know, how God, what were you saying in that? And how do you want me to apply it to my life? And as you do, maybe even throughout the week, maybe there's just something you're really wrestling with. God can take that truth. And I can guarantee you, after you meditate and as you study it, it's probably going to be something you'll never forget. It'll be, and then you can memorize some of that, and it'll be with you for the rest of your life. It won't leave you, because you've committed it to memory, and you've wrapped it around your heart, and it'll be there. I'm going to have the musicians come. Small things, big difference. If you want to see a big difference in your life spiritually, there's two things that we've looked at so far that'll make a huge impact in your life. And studies have shown it, surveys have shown it. It's nothing new, folks. Nothing flashy, but it's getting into the Word of God and it's praying. Those two things alone will transform your life and draw you closer to God and make you a mature believer like nothing else. And there's no shortcuts. But it's that small decision to say, you know what, I'm going to spend some time with God today in prayer and reading God's Word. It's in those moments that God begins to shape, to transform, to teach us, and to make us into His image. You can't take a pill for that. Okay? That's what our society is really hung up. Yeah, just take a pill. The purple one, the pink one. There's no pill. There's no shortcuts. It's only as we get ourselves into the Word of God and spend time alone with God that He begins His work in our life. Am I making sense? Would you stand this morning? We'll be talking about this, and I really want to keep the reading plan in front of us. Not as a way to say, oh, you didn't get your reading in this week. 9 lashes, okay? That's not what it's about. But I think it would be kind of cool if we just kind of do that together as a church. Because I think God can speak through our community. And as we go through that together, Right now it's the gospel mark. So, Lord, this morning you've given us your word, and what a privileged time to be living in this time of history where we have the word of God in its final form. Old and New Testament and the books, the Bible. And earlier believers, some of them didn't have that opportunity to have the written word of God so readily available. We have it electronically, we have it in written form, in so many different ways. And they didn't have that availability, and we today have such great privilege. And Lord, help us to take advantage of that, not to take it lightly, but to allow the Word of God to penetrate our heart and our life so that we can be changed and we can become more like you. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask it in your precious name this morning. I'm going to close with that chorus. How lovely is your dwelling place. Just encourage you to just allow the Holy Spirit to take what is said this morning and allow His Word to speak to your heart and life. And I don't know what God will be challenging you to. But if you become lax in your time alone with God, and work that out with God. Find a system that works for you. Find something that works. You know, sometimes you think, man, I did that last year, I did that a year before. Well, you found out something that didn't work. Good. How many times did it take to invent the light bulb? You know, I don't know. 2000, right? A lot. So, you know what? If you look at my journals, I don't have an entry for every day. I sometimes go without months. A month or two. And I get back on track. Maybe God needs to get you back on track this morning. And just hear His voice this morning and allow Him to accomplish His purpose and will. Gil and Emily are going to join me, and Josh and Karen. If you have a need and request, you want us to agree with, we're here, and we'd love to pray with you this morning. And so let's enter into praise and worship as we close out today.